Well, we've been doing a series with different speakers. I know Pastor Nigel's been doing it down in Fremantle, and Pastor Stephen's there continuing today. And it's just in that theme of, what am I here for? And I know it's something that I've probably spoken to myself numbers of times. What am I here for? And really, it comes down to a question of purpose. Really, what is my purpose? You know, when I was growing up as a child, I think I was very much influenced by my parents and those around about me. Now, I wasn't a Christian at that time, and I suppose I was my purpose would be. Oh, well, I would get a job at some stage. I would get married, would have children, buy a house, and would all live happily ever after. But unfortunately, that doesn't really work, and life doesn't deal up those things to us quite like that. That's a very romantic type movie presentation of what life would be like. And so, growing up, I was shaped by, I think we get shaped, obviously we get shaped by our parents, by our teachers, but for me personally it was, unfortunately my mother died when I was a baby, only 9 months old. My mother died, and I was fortunate enough that my father married when I was 3 years old, and so I had a mother, my stepmother, but I only know her really as my mother. But she was, she'd come over from Australia, and she was a school teacher. And unfortunately, my grades weren't particularly brilliant. I didn't spell that well. I didn't do math that well. And so she sort of said to me, look, you're not going to ever amount to much. Really, you're going to only be able to do a trade. Bless her heart. I mean, that's... Anyway, so I took that on board. I wasn't really going to amount to too much. So it sort of formed an opinion about myself of to really what my purpose was. My older brother, he managed to do his UE or university entrance exams, and he ended up in the banking industry. So he was sort of put up on a higher pedestal. For me personally, I got into a trade and work like that, and it was sort of like I always sort of saw myself as a little less than perhaps what other people would. Someone says, what do you do? I work on lawnmowers. I always used to put the word just in front of what I, you know, or I just do this, or I just do that, and because we don't feel that our value is really, we don't feel like we get valued like someone that's, got a job as a manager or who's, in a business or is doing tremendously well. And so we can look at them and our opinions can think, wow, they seem to have it all together. They seem to be very successful. And people seem to observe and think, wow, those people are great, and they'll, you know, you look at all the movie stars, people worship them, think they've all got it together, they've got all this money, and it's fantastic. So I was shaped by that. But the big change came in my life was when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I realized then that I was created for a purpose. That it wasn't about me anymore. This was about God. And that God can do something in my life that I could never imagine beforehand ever doing. So I just want to look at a couple of scriptures this morning. And one is found in Genesis chapter 2. So God didn't just create us just to float around and do nothing. Now, God has created us all for a purpose on this planet. You might not have found your fit yet. You may still be working out your purpose. But God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. I think without God, we can just really drift around from this thing to that thing. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord," previous to this, you know, we know God formed man out of the dust and breathed his spirit into him. "Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it." So man had a purpose to go into the garden, tend it and keep it. That's what his purpose was. It also goes on to say, or previous to that, it was when God talked about being fruitful and multiplying. There was a purpose there. The only thing that man's purpose was not to know was what was good and evil. And when we sometimes get outside our purpose and we look at something and start doing something that we shouldn't be doing, we can find ourselves ending up in trouble or getting into a place where we shouldn't be, or being in a situation where we're very unhappy because we've gone outside of really what God's asked us to do. Adam went outside and, well, Eve, we'll blame her because she was the one that gave the apple to Adam. But he should have, as head, really should have cut the thing out then. But he thought, oh, well, maybe I do need to know about good and evil. So he took the fruit, and we know the story from his failures there. If he'd stayed just tending the garden, looking after what God had created, things would have been totally different. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So God has planned out our lives before we've even started to walk into what he's wanting us to walk into. I just love that. I have to read that again. "For we are his workmanship." We're God's workmanship. It's not about us. It's about him. And I think for so many years in my life, and even in my early Christian life, it was still very much about me. What can I do? What can I get? Not so much what can I give to God. So, and when I get that the whole thought that I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand, that I should walk in that. You just dwell on that and think about that. That God's created me for good works that I can walk into and do. In Psalm 139, and this is a Psalm of David, and David just had a tremendous revelation about God, but here in Psalm 139 and verses 13 to 18, just wanted to get across the point that we're created for a purpose. God knows us. Psalms, here we go. 139. Gosh. So Psalms 139 and verses Well, I'm going to read from 13 down to 18. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, than that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet uninformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You know, David had that revelation that God had formed him. You know, God knew you before you were even created. Before you were a twinkle in your father's eye. And that's what a preacher would say. I've heard that a number of times. I had to say that. So God knows you. He knew you before you were formed. You're not here by accident. It's not by chance. He knows you. In Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and 5, Jeremiah, great prophet, God spoke to him. Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and 5. And it says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. So before we were born, God knew us. Before we were born, God put gifts within us. He put a plan for what He wanted our lives ahead of us before we were born. It takes an encounter with God, a salvation experience, to open our hearts and eyes to new possibilities. Like I said, before knowing Christ, I had a certain set way that I thought about myself and what I thought about others, really. I was tunnel visioned, and this was my mindset. It was a bit like, if we come to Judges 6, verse 12, and we know the story of Gideon, who was there thrashing wheat in a wine press. Not even, you wouldn't normally be putting wheat in a wine press, it's normally grapes, but there he was thrashing wheat in a wine press, hiding it, because he thought the Midianites would come and steal it. And the angel of the Lord comes to him, and I'll just find my... Angel of the Lord comes to him and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. That's how God sees us. You're a mighty man of valor. That you're not here by chance. You're not here by accident. That greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. So the angel says to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. But if we look over in verse 15, you can see how Gideon sees himself. So he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Messiah, and I am the least in my father's house. So that was Gideon's view of himself. That was what had formed in his mind by his circumstances, by the slavery that they found themselves in, captured by the Midianites. And all he saw himself was, well, I've just got to beat up some, thrash a bit of wheat so I can get enough for our family to eat. He did not see himself as a mighty man of valor. But when we get God's word in our lives, and when we start to confess God's word over our lives, it starts to change us. It starts to changes our thinking. In Romans 12, it talks about renewing our mind. We need to renew our mind to how God sees us, not as what others have told us about who we are, or this is how you're always going to be. I mean, that's a lie. It's never how you're always going to be. You're never going to stay the same if you accept Christ in your life and you start your journey with Him. God will lead you. And the process will take place. So our lives can be shaped by those around us. Words spoken can have a big bearing on how we see ourselves. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. When we don't know our purpose, it's like walking around aimlessly and not getting anywhere. And moving on to my second point. Processed for purpose. The second point, process for purpose. And I must admit, I don't like the processing part of God's purpose in my life. That God has to, it can be painful. God has to adjust things, rearrange things, take some things out of us for us to progress into our purpose. I was thinking about it the other day. You know, a caterpillar. It's just a bug. It's not very attractive. You know, climbs around the leaves, just eats away, feeding. Has to avoid birds, because if the birds see them, they'll obviously eat it as a bug. But the thing was, it has to go through this process. It has to feed. It has to eat away. It has to you know, go up the leaves and around, and till it finally comes to a point where it's full enough, and then it gets into that cocoon, and again it's hidden from everything. You can miss them sometimes. They're on the side of a branch or something, a cocoon. You can miss them. They're hidden away. And then one day, a beautiful butterfly breaks out of that cocoon and soars away and into its purpose, again to lay eggs. And so, in the process, we can be hidden away in a sense. I know in my early Christian life, I had some amazing things happen very early on in my life, an encounter with God and a few things in the Spirit. And I had a view of myself, well, man, I'm going to make it now. I'm just going to be God's man of power and a man's... can't think of the saying now, but I'm going to be God's man of power for the hour. That's what it is, yeah. And, you know, I knew that, oh, look, if I'm like this, well, I'm going to be really recognized and people are going to, you know, think that I'm really good, because I'd had a couple of people, can you pray for me? We know you've got a gift in that area. And I was starting to get thinking, wow, I'm really starting to make it here. And people are recognizing it. And I thought, maybe at some stage my mother might do as well. And I was seeing Benny Hinn. I thought, man, if I could just get to be like Benny Hinn, well, then I'd really, you know, then I'd really have made it. And so I tried to imitate him, try to practice how he did things. But, you know, you can never be who you weren't created to be. You have to be the best you that God created you to be. It took me a while to get to that part. And I remember I had a lot of people came at times and gave me prophecies, and they were always normally very encouraging about how God was going to use you and this and that. And then I had this prophecy, and it came, God will height you away for a season where you will not be noticed by man. I thought, oh God, what do you mean you're going to hide me away for a season? He was going to hide me away for a season. God had to work on several areas of my character. In this process, we learn patience. We learn honesty. We learn humility. We learn faithfulness. We learn love. God teaches us with circumstances rather than just words. And I had to learn over that time. I had some very painful experiences. My pride had to be crushed. I had to learn to walk in a greater level of humility. I had to learn not to judge others because I didn't think they were as spiritual as I was. I had to learn all these things. I had to learn to have more compassion for those around about me that were less fortunate. And it's a process. But if we go through the process, we're going to walk into our purpose. And when we walk into our purpose, it changes your life. And time is flying. In 1 Samuel, I'll just give these scriptures. In 1 Samuel 16:13, David was anointed to be king when he was 15 years old. So he was anointed to be king. Samuel tipped the oil over him. The anointing flowed on him. But he wasn't king. He was anointed to be king. But then he had 15 years of he was with Saul for a bit, and then he was running from Saul. He was pursued by Saul. He was found himself in a cave, the cave of Adullam, and he was filled with people who were discontent, disgruntled. He had all those with him as well. But in this process, he was learning what it was like to be a king. And when he was 30, he actually became king. So in that process, from being anointed to becoming king, God worked on him so he could become king and be the great king that he was. And even as he was king, he still made mistakes. In Genesis 37:5-7, Joseph received a dream when he was 17 years old. Sometimes it's probably good to keep dreams to yourself. But he wanted to share with his brothers. And they weren't too happy when they heard about his dream, because his dream was telling them that they were going to be bowing down to him. So they obviously, you know the story, how he's sold off into slavery and then he's in jail. So he was 17 years old when he received that dream, and he was 30 years old when he became the governor of Egypt, and his brothers did come and bow down. I have to be willing to let go and step out beyond my comfort zone of what I know that I'm comfortable with. Because if I never allow myself or allow God to work within my life, I sort of confine myself to the barriers that either people have put around me or I've put around myself. And yeah, I do life, I do things, but I never really feel fulfilled. In Philippians 1:6, And this is the Passion Translation. Paul was saying, I pray with great faith for you because I'm fully convinced that the one who began this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put his finishing touches to it until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is going to keep on maturing us. We have to keep growing. We can't remain the same. You know, there's, I don't know how many times I've gone round and round the mountain because I haven't dealt with an issue in my life. And I think, well, God's forgotten about it now. But then the thing arises up again. And away I go, around the mountain again. Until I get to the point where I say, well, God, I've got to deal with this. If I want to come up higher, if I want to get up higher with you, I've got to deal with this area, this issue in my life. It might be sin. It might be just a wrong thinking that I need to adjust and get right in my life. And then I can start to head up the mountain again till the next thing comes that I have to actually deal with. It's like I think, oh God, I've just got over that now. And then, hello, he exposes some other things in my life that didn't know were there. Because God's always wanting us to progress and grow. And my last point I've called it anointed for purpose. It's like if I can achieve my purpose according to my own ability, it's sure it's not God's true purpose for me. The Holy Spirit in our lives makes a big difference. And for me, to be able to even stand up here and speak, if you'd heard me a number of years ago, you'd think, my gosh, I wouldn't want to listen to him for very long at all. There was no really anointing on my life at that time. And it's like whatever you do, whether it's out in the marketplace or in your job, whatever you do, with the Holy Spirit, and as God starts to work with you, and we're relying upon Him, it's like you get supernaturally charged to do things that in the natural you don't seem to think I could even do that thing. To anoint means to endow someone with divine ability to do something what they could not do with their own nature and gifts. In John 15, we know the scripture. So we can't do our lives on our own. John 15 says, and this is verse 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So we need to remain in him. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And it's like, well, you could say, well, I know lots of people do lots of things, and they seem to be happy, they seem to be successful. And that is true to a natural point, but I'm talking about the spiritual point. We can't do things spiritually without God. We need to be connected to the vine. We need His life flowing in us. So to effectively fulfill your purpose that God has given you, you must have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's God's will we live under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish His purpose. And really that takes surrender. And I just want to close with this scripture. Time has flown. And I was reading 2 Peter this morning, and I thought this just seemed to fit in well. So 2 Peter verses 3 and 4, it says, As his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given, which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God has a divine purpose, a divine plan for your lives. If the worship team would like to come. Maybe, I know there's not many here this morning, but maybe you're here this morning and you haven't found your divine purpose because you've never actually ever given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we start. And so this morning I just want to give the opportunity, because I don't know you all. Maybe this morning you just haven't given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, given your life to Him. Said, Lord, I want to surrender.